Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Forsley. And they score! Matthew Tkachuk with the first goal of the series. And Florida leads 1-0. It is skated up and into the zone by Verhaeghe. Shesterkin played it to the wall, but to Verhaeghe, and it's tipped in by the Rangers, Lafreniere. 2-0 Florida on an own goal. Played it ahead for Bennett. The net is empty. Sam Bennett makes it 3-0 Florida. And the Panthers are going to take game one of this Eastern Conference final.
That's the ball game in favor of the Panthers last night in game one of the Eastern Conference final. We have our largest studio audience ever on Sabres Live today. And
our youngest studio
our
audience
youngest
ever.
Studio audience
they're supposed
ever.
To be in
yes.
school.
Yes, it is school kids day here at Salem Field, and we are honored. Invited guests by the Bandits. I'm in Bandits mode, of course, but we're also fully.
You got your champion hat on.
I know, exactly. It's from the top down. That's the thought process, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bisons need to be top of mind after the Bandits' latest championship.
Oh, they're trying to start the wave, Duffer.
It's 2-for-1 day today because yesterday's game got suspended due to the inclement weather in the afternoon. So they picked it up with St. Paul. They're continuing the conclusion of that game. Score is
7-1 right now.
I was going to say the score is not to be mentioned right now. And we'll restart this afternoon.
It was 3-0 yesterday, and it is 4-1 right now, but you combine the two, it's 7-1.
And 3-0 was the final score at Madison Square Garden last night. Is there a compelling takeaway from the Game 1 victory, which is another road win for the Panthers? They are 5-1 this postseason away from home.
The way the Florida Panthers played defensively, there was no room through the middle of the ice, and that's been something that we can say now. Florida is playing a hard, very defensive-minded type of game from everybody in their lineup, and they just needed a Tkachuk goal it's stoppable by Shesterkin. A mistake by Shesterkin on playing the puck. It goes off Lafreniere. Yes, a bad bounce and an empty net goal. But I have a question for you. Where has Artemi Panarin been in the last four games, game 4, 5, and 6 of the Carolina series, where the Rangers were up 3-0 and then kind of let it slip a little bit? 4, 5, and 6 and game 1, now the conference finals, he is a minus... Let me see, 6, 7, 8. He's a -7 with 2 assists in those 4 games. And he was non-factor, especially last night in that game 1.
It's 1 game, and I staunchly defended Elias Pettersson last round, so I'm certainly not going to bite on condemning a Hart Trophy candidate.
I'm not
in
asking
my
you
opinion.
To bite on it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, look, I mean...
All I'm saying is it's part of the playoffs that no matter who you are, there
true.
Are stretches where you don't produce. Nashville's one of their high-ranking prospects, Igor Afanasyev, last night had been pretty quiet in the playoffs, scored 3 goals, including the overtime winner. Milwaukee is now up 2-1. Why is that relevant? Because, A, I love talking about Nashville prospects, and B, they are on the cusp, Milwaukee is, after that 19-game win streak in the regular season, of making it all 4 division winners to get to the Final Four. Coachella Valley is back.
Yes.
Hershey is back after winning last night. Cleveland, who got past Syracuse last night to sweep them after the Crunch beat the Amerks in 5. So
if Vancouver had done it in the NHL, we would have had the same thing as well with Florida, Dallas.
Yes. The Rangers.
The Rangers, and if Vancouver had beat Edmonton.
Exactly.
So 3 out of 4, it's almost chalked in the NHL. But the reason I'm saying that, because I'm sitting here, you know, we're at the Bisons game, and I'm thinking, oh, the Bisons, you know, Major League affiliate is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And we still now have got a lot of Maple Leafs things that are going on. Sheldon Keefe was hired with the New Jersey Devils, so the old coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs now with the Devils. What is it going to do? I don't know. But I draw a little bit of a comparison with what Panarin has done the last 4 games to what Mitch Marner has had to kind of endure this year. And, you know, they lose in 7 to Boston Bruins. He didn't have the best of playoffs, but it's a difference when you have a 4 or 5 game stretch in the middle of the playoffs if you performed well. Like, Panarin still has 11 points in 11 games.
Exactly what
but
I'm
if
not
you
concerned.
Start the playoffs with the first 4 games where you're -7 and you only have 2 assists and you're struggling, it's like you're getting peanuts thrown at you, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I also feel like you're conveniently...
throwing peanuts. Well, I have a whole bag here, so you better be careful.
You're conveniently using plus minus on the heels of years where we never talk plus minus because of its irrelevance. So
it is convenient.
I feel like you're harping for no reason on a guy like Jiří Kulík. At the end of the Amerik series, it was all talk in, you know, print and wherever. And I'm like, wait a minute, why is the narrative changing here? Why are people picking on Kulík and Rozan? And I can still vividly tell you exactly where Rozan was on the ice for the three goals he was on against in the last game. And he had nothing to do with the goals. It's a completely ridiculous stat in today's thing. So
I just don't
need it attached to Panarin.
No, and I get it. The way I look at it, I'm saying maybe it draws back.
Was he on the ice when Bob coughed it up and Lafreniere scored on his own net?
Yes.
Like, sorry, that's not a Panarin problem.
He was minus three.
I know.
In that game.
And an empty netter. So
it's not a Panarin problem. I get it. But on the flip side of it, I'm looking at it as, okay, maybe it's accentuating what the Rangers are and what they are not. They don't score at 5-on-5 much. It's their power play that needs to pick it up. And yesterday, they only had two opportunities on the power play, which, by the way, one of them, Florida Panthers got caught with too many men on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a too many men on the ice. Now, should we review penalties when it comes, because we review ice stick penalties, we review major. Too many men on the ice could be a reviewable play. Like, the trailing referee sees Tarasenko jump on the ice, right, as they go up the ice. And then he sees a defenseman slowly getting to the bench. He puts his arm up in the air and he's calling it too many men. When you look at the replay, and Paul Maurice is yelling, we only had four guys on the ice.
Yeah.
When Tarasenko waited an extra second because the play was, he actually made a smart play, not to jump right away.
Mm-hmm.
And when he jumped, he was only the fifth guy on the ice, and they got called for too many men on the ice. But Rangers couldn't score on that power play, couldn't score any goals in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore is the, okay, are the Rangers 5-on-5 going to be able to play well against Florida?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you clearly can tell I'm not concerned in the least. And even if the Rangers were to go on and get swept, I can't make much out of this particular game at the moment. They're President's Trophy winners. They have beaten and, I think, performed incredibly well against Carolina to, you know, persevere in that series. It's one game. There were some weird bounces. I think their depth is outstanding. Panarin maybe a little quiet of late.
Kreider a little quiet the last couple
but
of
again,
games.
Like,
but he had the hat trick in the comeback, right?
Right? So it's one, like, it's
almost like, what have you done for me lately in the playoffs? And sometimes it goes I took it a little too far because the Rangers could, I said it was going to go to seven games, and they could definitely come back, win game two, go into Florida, split, come back at home, and it's 2-2, right? After four games. They could definitely go that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only reason I would be mildly concerned if I was the Rangers was the fact that Matthew Tkachuk was looking so forward to this series, and then he, like he had last year, I mean, he has five goals in his last five conference final games. He was an impact. And I think, not unlike the Rangers, the beauty of the Panthers is it may have been their depth that got them to this point, but if Tkachuk looks like he's gonna maybe, you know, be the best, right? Like, I mean, last year was, should never be even, like, there should always be recency bias about how great Matthew Tkachuk was in last year's playoffs with the OT winners and game winning goals and all that. That would be
board?
My concern.
Have you seen the board? Most goals in their first five conference finals game in their career. You have Kevin Stevens when he was with Pittsburgh, obviously, at six and five games, whatever. But it's Matthew Tkachuk and then it's Mario Lemieux. Like, it's five, like, your first five conference finals games. People always say, oh, you got to experience it first. No, there's people that are wired for those moments, and Matthew Tkachuk is definitely wired for that moment, and he's shown that last year in the conference finals, sweeping Carolina, and now he's showing it again this year. And I wouldn't be surprised. I said it's going to go seven, and I think the Rangers are going to win. But the way the game went yesterday, if Florida swept the New York Rangers, it wouldn't surprise me, just because they have guys like him and Bobrovsky that are gamers.
I think that's probably what you just have kind of affirmed in my mind, is like, none of this surprises me, and I could very easily see Florida rolling here to a sweep. But I'm still, I don't know, like I have a tough time being overly critical of teams that are this good. Like somebody's going to win, and I know it's a cop out. Like, but maybe it's because the air is nice and the sun is shining, and
it's beautiful. It is beautiful.
But you only. But you literally brought me peanuts when I wanted a hot dog from Salem Field.
You said sacks, snacks.
What did I say?
You said sacks, snacks.
Okay.
Snacks with an N.
All right.
What you did mention also, ginger ale, and I brought you something else. So I'm sorry.
Darren Dreger at the bottom of the hour, and special guest from the Bisons coming up. So before we get there, how about a quick thought on tonight's series opener in the Western Conference with Edmonton and Dallas?
I won't lie to you. I picked Dallas in five games, Duffer, and I'll be honest with you. I'm going to put both of my favorite sayings in the same thing. I'm worried with the Edmonton Oilers if they do not win game one.
Why?
I just don't have the confidence in their depth. I don't have the confidence in their goaltending. I don't have the confidence in everything that Dallas can bring to the ice. Like, I think it's a nightmare matchup. Tanev Heiskanen against Draisaitl McDavid. I think everything is falling in place for Dallas. Now, Oilers could probably go in and win game one and make me eat everything I'm saying right now. On paper, I just don't like the way this is shaping up for the Oilers.
How do you feel about the Worlds?
The World Championship? Well, I mean, before we went on the air, Germany was behind to the Swiss, and they got it tied up. So I'm hoping that it continues in a good way for JJ Paterka, and Team Canada is up 3-1 on Slovakia, so that's to be expected.
It is. It's in period number three at this point, and
Germany's down 2-1 right now.
Yeah, I don't know where we got some bad info before, unless we didn't get a refresh. But let me double check.
I think maybe what happened as well is that maybe there was a NHL.com type of situation.
Yeah, I still have it as 2-1 Switzerland, but whatever. Yeah,
the goal may have been put on, challenge reviewed, no goal, and they take it off the board. That's happened before. With NHL.com and more, right? Because it spreads out to every other outlet.
Sabres legend Dominic Cahoon has a goal for Germany today. So we'll see if John Paterka can add to that total.
Oilers legend too, right? Dominic Cahoon?
Not as legendary. Although he played more games there, but his points per game ratio with the Sabres was pretty remarkable for a guy who played less than 10 games.
These are, like, I'll tell you this. When Cahoon was here, I thought he had some skills and was maybe like one of those players you can move forward with.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously contracts, arbitration, all of it made the Sabres not give him a qualifying offer. And then he went into a different direction. And obviously it's not panned out the way that he thought it was going to go.
The added layer for Edmonton tonight is the fact that if we're talking about Tkachuk in the Florida scenario, you know, on the road, kind of leader of the group. Like, don't you think, not unlike how the playoffs started in game one this year, do you not think McDavid still has one more monster game to, like, just, you know, blow the door? Like, really kind of... How can I even suggest steal the spotlight? Like, the spotlight is always on him. I get it. But I just feel like there's one more, at least, really, really, really big Connor McDavid night in the near future.
We obviously know that Connor McDavid started the season, dealt with an injury, came back a little prematurely for the outdoor, like, Heritage Classic.
Wait, for Nickelback, yes.
For Nickelback, because he was stoked about Nickelback being at the performance at the Heritage Classic.
Yeah.
Then missed some time, came back. I truly feel that McDavid is dealing with an injury right now, which is limiting his ability to score, to get to certain areas. Mm-hmm. He's still a fantastic playmaker and still has a massive impact on the Oilers' success. But it is not the same. I would say, yeah, McDavid does have a monster game in him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that this injury concern that may or may not be there is too much for him to have that 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points type of game to put the team on his back, where we've seen that in the past.
Is part of that because you really love how Ottinger is locked
in right
now? I love
the Dallas D. I love their team, their depth. And Ottinger is dialed in. And look, just like Shesterkin last night, Shesterkin, not a great goal on Tkachuk, missed puck play, unfortunate bounce off Lafreniere. Ottinger has had those moments. Mm-hmm. but he's been able to win games in those moments, which is the difference. And maybe that's because your team's scoring goals, right? Where New York, well, they didn't score any last night.
Jordan Binnington had a better season this year, almost got the Blues into the playoffs. Yeah. He's been backstopping Canada at the World Championships, and obviously a win today for Dylan Cousins. Jordan Binnington and company will get them into the semifinals. Obviously, there were still six Sabres going in the World Championships as action began today. And at last check, it is still Canada in the lead, 3-1 against Slovakia. And in recognition of the Worlds that are ongoing and your appetite for the game itself, you can get tickets for it next year, $26 for Sabres season ticket memberships, and you can do so now at sabres.com/world. Obviously, we'll update you a little bit later on the other action, and of course, USA and Czechs a little later, Sweden, Finland, and still ongoing, Canada, Slovakia, and Switzerland, Germany. So, Brad Bisping is with us here from the Bisons. Thank you for having us here today.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it wasn't hard for us to get. It was up to you to create a space for us, so thank you.
It's a beautiful afternoon. Great crowd with all the school kids out there. Great day for a baseball game.
Now, last time I was here and we walked through the tunnels, I was asking you a million questions about baseballs and, you know, just like, I feel like people don't know about these things, like hockey pucks in games. Like, they stay in the freezer. They change them every, like, whistles or two to try to keep the pucks going. Like, again, I was watching during the game. How many baseballs do they use in a game? Because it seems like that would be an exuberant amount of money that gets put through a budget because of the baseballs.
Thankfully, it's the Toronto Blue Jays and the Major League Baseball provide the baseballs. But I think I read somewhere that the average lifespan of a baseball is about 7 pitches.
Wow.
Before it either gets scuffed up because it's on the field or gets thrown out in the crowd or a foul ball. So you can imagine pitchers throwing, you know, 100 pitches in an outing plus the relievers. We go through a lot of baseballs every game.
This or that, Marty, what lasts longer, a baseball or your golf ball?
Oh, definitely a baseball.
Yeah?
Yeah. My golf ball at this time, those this or that base golf balls printed that I have, people can find them. They're good souvenirs.
They are. It's like your little chamber of commerce at work, spreading it around the community.
Where's Marty Golf lately?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Big homestand here. Not only, I mean, excitement level, the din of the school kids today here, but it's going to carry over. Take us through this really impressive and fun-filled weekend.
Yeah, this is a fun weekend. It started last Sunday with the Micah Hyde event here and the great crowd we have here and the great weather this week. We're having a lot of fun this week. The school kids, they crowd. Then tomorrow we have a Friday night bash. The weather looks gorgeous. It's friendship bracelet night.
I know.
So we'll keep the good music, the great music going all game long by a certain artist. If you know Friendship Bracelets, you'll know who I'm talking about. Little T-Swift. And then Saturday is the big. It's the Star Wars night. It's one of the most anticipated nights every year. The Star Wars night at 6 o'clock. We open the gates early on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Over 50 characters. We have a life-size Jabba the Hutt coming back this year, which is really cool to see. We play the videos. What fans might not realize when it comes to Star Wars night, you know, we create our own movie series almost that plays on the board that leads up to the on-field battle on the field. And the script for that, those movies, is approved by Lucasfilms. We send that right onto Lucasfilms to get approved of to make sure it's authentic. It's its own storyline, though.
The inning just ended. They got the Star Wars music playing and the video for May 25th, Saturday night.
Is any one of the characters on Star Wars night involved in the opening pitch?
That's one thing they don't do. They don't do the first pitch because they're in the concourse.
Okay.
We'll have photo and meet and greet stations throughout the concourse, both the lower level and the club level. Along with the Jabba Hutt, so plenty of time to get your pictures taken with all your favorite characters. And the best part is it's all good for a great cause. We've been working with Compass House now for 15 years on this event. They're great supporters of the event. They send a lot of it, volunteers. We're wearing a jersey that says The Mandalorian on it.
Yep.
We'll autograph those off and raffle them off right during the game as well.
Oh, wonderful. So
a lot going on. And also
Raffle that happens only for those in attendance, or is it one of those ones that you can access, you know, online or anything like
that?
It's
actually, it's two-part. We'll do a raffle on site for the people in attendance. That'll be about 20 to 25 of the jerseys that'll be worn. But then we'll also have an online auction at Bisons.com for people who can't make it out, people who came, might not be in town or anything like that because of the Memorial Day weekend. There'll be an option to bid there as well.
Now, let me ask you this. Star Wars night is always a big night when it comes to, promotions. And minor league baseball does a fantastic thing with their promotional night, so much so that Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, the NFL has taken some of those ideas. How often do you guys have meetings and say, let's push it a little further. Let's do something new that maybe will continue, like Star Wars nights, like, there's Bring Your Dogs to the Ballpark Day. Like, there's so many fun things that happen.
Well, first off, the great thing about minor league baseball is we're all in it together. We don't necessarily compete for fans with the Rochester Red Wings or the Syracuse Mets like the Yankees and Mets in New York would compete with each other. So we're constantly sharing ideas, whether it's throughout the year or with off-season meetings. This worked in Durham. This worked in Indy. You guys should try this. The Star Wars night, which has kind of been perfected here in Buffalo, it was actually in West Michigan 1 year before we started ours. And we saw that. And our GM now, who was a account rep at the time, Anthony Sprague, huge Star Wars guy, saw that and like asked about it. It's like, yeah, we did this. This is what you should do. And we've built on that from that. So we're constantly sharing ideas and looking to, improve. We have 75 games every year, so we'll start planning pretty soon after the end of a season. What can we do next year? Okay, this works. How do we expand on it? How do we do something differently? So we're constantly reviewing the promo schedule, and as it is, we'll continue to add. We still have some more promotions this year that are yet to be announced, including the subject of our bobblehead, which we're still finalizing, which I don't want to tease it too much, but this might be – next to Mark last year might be one of my favorite bobbleheads ever.
Oh, it's Marty.
So we
those are not in production. They don't exist. They broke the mold. It doesn't happen anymore.
So we'll keep adding to this promo schedule even in season.
That's awesome.
Well, we're going to continue because that means hockey and lacrosse down the road. But you have a Sunday special here as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we might have a little way to authenticate what's going to happen this weekend. And this is a first time event, correct?
Yeah, this is very cool.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful cap.
So this is the cap for Luce Ace Day Buffalo. It's part of a minor league program called Copa de la Diversión to honor and celebrate the Hispanic cultures, the Latino cultures in your community.
Wow.
And we've designed this in-house, this great logo, Luce Ace Day Buffalo, or Lights of Buffalo.
I'm moving a little closer here. I don't know whether we can get a little zoom
on the jersey
on it,
here too.
And the jersey as well. And so what this is It's twofold. It's a celebration of our moniker as the City of Light.
Yes.
And also a callback to the 1901 Pan American Exposition, the World's Fair that was here in Buffalo, which was not only a celebration of the worldwide, the use of electricity in the city. Many people don't know Buffalo was one of the first cities widespread electricity in the city, and that's how they got the moniker City of Light.
Wow.
And it was very much on display. But also the Pan American Exposition shortly after the Spanish-American War had a dual function of also reuniting, celebrating the emerging cultures of Central, South, and North America, the newer nations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right here in Buffalo. So a great partnership with the Hispanic Heritage Council of Western New York, some season ticket holders as well, were instrumental in this design that, we've started planning about 2 years ago. So we will be Luce Ace to Buffalo. Our players will wear this on Sunday and a couple other games later on this season that we're really excited about.
Really amazing.
You're a hat person, Duffer.
Wow,
and that hat, I can see it being in your collection.
I am, but I love the history behind anything like that. And this is a really, really deep and wonderful connection to our past and where we're going.
I learned about Buffalo in the weirdest and strangest way. I had a fantastic cab ride from the airport to the, at the time, was Marine Midland Arena, because it was in my early days of getting called up. And the cab driver basically told me all about, how the import-export used to go through Lake Ontario, Lake Erie. They used to drop it in Buffalo, and what happened when the locks were built in Canada, and now I got a nice education on the, you know, the heritage, Hispanic heritage of Buffalo and the City of Light and everything.
Brad, I'm reading that there's going to be special food options.
Yep.
That sounds very appealing also on Sunday based on...
You're not happy about the peanuts?
No, I mean, peanuts are peanuts. We can get those every game, right? But this is really great. Like, this is like an on-field, off-field, like... It's a pretty good collaboration, right?
Yeah, we'll have great music. We'll have special first pitches, special community groups in the concourse celebrating some of the services that are out there. The food options, we'll have dancers as well. And it's this night, and we have a night in July and September as well, celebrating Luce's Day Buffalo.
Okay, I know we're pressed for time for commercial, but before...
We're not pressed. Dreger can wait.
Drex can wait. But I know that if I mention a name to you, it may go long. Jay Harris in studio is like, he's so excited you're on. He said it's a beautiful day, best day of the year because you're on the show right now. He wouldn't give me any dirt on you. Like, I'm like, I need dirt or whatever. Like, do you have something
else? Thank you, Jay. That's the brotherhood right there. Thank you.
I love it.
I always try to get a little something.
Okay, can you give us a little bit more then on the themes involving hockey and lacrosse as the summer goes on?
And talk about a promotion still be announced. But we do have the date set.
Yep.
Our lacrosse night with the Bandits is Thursday, June 27th. And now we get to celebrate back-to-back championships.
Yes.
So
and by the way, how fun was last year? What a night with the Bandits.
Yeah,
that was so good.
And Scott and Dan Restein and all those guys do a tremendous job. And it was so great to celebrate them and to see those guys just have fun on the field. And they participated in all the on-field promotions. They had a lot of fun with that. And then we have the hockey night with the Sabres, of course, doing it a little bit later this year to be a lead-in to camp and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a day game. It's Saturday, September 7th, and we will have new jersey looks for both of those nights that have yet to be announced. So we'll have new jerseys for our lacrosse night and our hockey night
that Buffalo Sabres colored with the ball logo.
One of the most popular in town, without question.
And Danny Garrett threw in the first pitch last year. Happy day. Tickets was
awesome.
Someone
was here meeting fans, too. Appreciate
I was here meeting fans. You know, I held up the line. People were like, Marty, stop talking. They got to go watch the game.
Is there anyone you haven't met yet? Like, I feel like these meet and greets might be getting redundant.
A lot of people I've met multiple times, yes, but there's always new people, especially in different venues.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, look, baseball was my first love.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey is amazing. It's been amazing to me, my family, and I still love hockey. But coming to a ball game, watching it on TV, I do what this lady does, and she's right off a side here. She's scoring the game. I come to these games, and I go to guest services, and I get one of those pencil and paper, and I mark the game. Like, I love baseball, and what you guys do here in Buffalo is amazing.
Thank you, Brad, for being here today.
Thank
amazing.
You for coming out.
As they used to say when Harry Carey was doing the seventh inning stretch, get some runs.
Yeah. Definitely we'll take some today.
Definitely could use some right now.
Right.
Brad Bisping with the Bisons, and obviously lots more to come here on Sabres Live. It's Bisons Live from Salem Field. We're back after this.